Sheffield Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Every Sunday morning at 9, join me, Pete Evans, for Spinning Jazz on Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM. Each week we'll be exploring the wonderful world of modern jazz. From hard bop to bossa nova, from Latin to soul. That's Spinning Jazz, Sunday mornings at 9 on Sheffield Live.
If you like rock in all its forms, you will love Glory Days. You can listen to us locally on 93.2 FM and on the telly, and anywhere in the world on sheffieldlive.org. What do you think, Dawn? You know what, I think he likes it. That's Glory Days, every Monday 1 till 3, here on Sheffield Live. Bosh, bosh. Oops, I've had an accident.
It's time to open the music box. Join me, Steve Roden, every Thursday morning between 10 and 12 for music from the 40s to the 90s from my own music collection. Songs I've grown up with, ones I am sure you will enjoy hearing again. Hope to see you then.
I'm Martin.
And you listen to The Film Show here on Sheffield Live. Good afternoon, welcome to The Film Show. How are you doing?
Diddling okay, yes.
We're diddling okay, are we?
Ah, you're diddling. Bobby Chariot.
I'm not sure I'm ready for that.
Do you not remember Bobby Chariot?
Oh, you're showing your age, I think.
I'm on pills from your nerves, living in my car.
What's that from?
It's Alexei Sayle.
He's
down on his luck stand-up comedian. Whose wife had left him, and he was
the
on
best kind of stand-up comedian.
He was on pills for his
nerves,
and he just stood there and told you all his woes.
Ah, I'll have to look it up.
You will.
Take your word for it.
We will.
So we're back for another week of film. We've got a sad news to cover later.
Yes, yes.
We've been on a film show trip, haven't we, to see a gig?
We did, yes.
And I've managed to shoehorn that into a playlist.
I was going to say, it wasn't necessarily a film show trip, but you've managed to, in your customarily brutal manner...
shoehorn it in.
Strong arm it into a playlist.
And we're going to start with a look at... So the LFF, London Film Festival, we talked about, will be on tour.
Does the festival itself start next week, doesn't it?
It starts, yeah, it's very soon.
Yeah.
And for the week and a half of it, there will be films showing in the good old city of Sheffield. Now, we've mentioned Blitz last week quite a lot, haven't we?
We did,
yes. You get a chance to see that there. And All We Imagine Is Light, we've given a good mention to as well. But another film that's going to close the festival is Bird.
Andrea Arnold's latest film, which stars Barry, and I was reading an article about this the other day, how you pronounce his name, and he says Keown.
Do people correct him?
Well, I think they do.
His own name.
So if that's all right with Barry, that's all right with me. But please don't write in and complain about that.
It looks an intriguing one, doesn't it? So we've given it a bit of a mention from Cannes as well, didn't we? That's where it premiered.
Yes.
It looks an interesting one. A bit of social realism, as you'd expect from...
Yeah, it's all set around... it looks like Kent and the rough and tumble areas like the Isle of Sheppey and things like that. And he's covered in tattoos, is Barry, isn't he?
Yeah. Does a lot of topless motorcycle work in it.
Yeah. Not bottomless like he was in Saltburn.
Oh. So, that's disappointing, that film.
I wasn't recommending it.
Also got a chance to get a sneak peek of Conclave.
Yes.
Rafe.
I can't say at the moment that's setting my pulse racing, I think.
Is it not?
No.
The papal drama, not...
Papal
not
drama, those two words immediately send me to the drinks cabinet. Papal drama. Whatever. Yeah. It's one of those... It's so worthy... It hurts, doesn't it?
Mm.
You know that sort of thing. You know, look at all the quality that's gone into this. Look at the actors who are in this.
Yeah.
Isabella Rossellini's in this. She's in everything, you know.
Oh, I watched... Because I watched The Substance last week.
Yeah.
I had a rewatch of a film that I hadn't seen for years. Bruce Willis, Meryl Streep, Goldie Hawn, Death Becomes Her.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And it was kind of a clumsier... gawkier Hollywood style version of the same kind of idea, but without the 21st century gloss on it.
I went to see The Substance this week and I did enjoy it, but it was definitely 15 minutes too long.
You're going to complain about which 15 minutes just before it goes.
I thought towards the end it was getting, okay, I'll get this now. But I did catch her, Coralie Forget's first film, Revenge.
Yeah.
It's on Prime if you want to catch it. And there was an alarming number of plot devices, stylistic, even lines of dialogue in it.
And
it's a bloodbath.
I haven't seen that film, but I've seen like stills from it. And it is like that vista of the glass window in the apartment.
Yeah, it's an apartment with this marvellous sort of cinerama-like view from it. There's people bleed literally gallons of blood in this. And, you know...
I'm all right with that.
I'm just going with it. But as well, if you enjoyed The Substance, it's an entertaining couple of hours,
Get over to Prime.
Yeah.
Another one that we've mentioned in Trailer Trash, Night Bitch, you can get a chance to see that as well. The Amy Adams is a mother turning into a dog.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard some pretty... mixed reviews.
Yeah,
from that.
Got some.
The trailer looks fun, but the reviews are a little bit mixed.
Yeah,
but you can make your own mind up.
Beware trailers that look fun.
I guess so. Yeah,
they're covering something up.
Anora, I know you're keen on that one.
I did put that in Trailer Trash because I saw that in all the glory of an IMAX screen trailer yesterday, and. I don't know, every film I go to see just seems to be set in a disco with lots of lots of young ladies' bottoms wiggling in my face. And I don't seek it out. But as we both said earlier, Elizabeth, we both feel as though we have intimate knowledge of Margaret Qualley's bum now, don't we, after The Substance, you know?
Yeah, lots of lingering, deliberately lingering shots.
Yeah. And, well... I'll be talking about it later, but Megalopolis had a lot of like disco scenes with scantily clad women. They call it twerking.
there is such a thing.
Is there? I didn't know what. I said, what's all that?
I think out of everything else that's showing, previewing from London Film Festival here in Sheffield, I'm quite interested in A Real Pain, which features Jesse Eisenberg. As one of two brothers who travel to Poland to look at their Jewish roots, but also features Kieran Culkin, who was so... Did you watch Succession? Are we doing a...
I wrote Succession.
Oh, shut up.
Did you watch Succession?
I'd don't know. We've not discussed it on this
show. Watch it from series one?
Yes, but I didn't watch it when it first was broadcast, so I got to.
Well, that's what I mean. Did you watch it when it first came on?
Well, I didn't have Sky then.
Well, if you know about it, you get it, don't you? That's...
If money is no object.
Oh, so don't pull that one on me.
But Kieran Culkin,
yeah,
transformative in that, and so I will watch anything with him in now. So that gets a watch from me. But that's sort of my highlights of London Film Festival, I think.
And is there anywhere where you can get details of what festival films are showing at cinemas in Sheffield at all?
Well, I just got everything from the showroom website because they're doing...
But it's not just going to be the showroom, is it? Showing...
I imagine if you go on the BFI London website, they should have links there.
We'll have a look at that and see if we can get any information on that. Is that it?
That's London Film Festival. Well, you had a lot of festival talk, haven't we?
We have, but so, I've got more.
Yeah. But you've got a special festival.
I've got a special festival. I have the details for Sheffield's very own film and music festival, the 2024 edition of Sensoria.
I love that. Sensoria.
Or is it Sensoria?
So good off the tongue.
I always say Sensoria because that's the Cabaret Voltaire. That's how they say it on the Cabaret Voltaire single. Mm. Sensoria. So I'm sticking with that.
Actual singing.
So there is the usual musical items on there. The Synth Fest UK. Very heavily concerned with the creation and the production of electronic music. And as far as film goes, there's one particular screening which is on, and it is on next Friday, which is October the 4th.
Oh, God, isn't it? October.
Is that October? Be Christmas soon. Cheese footballs are in the shops. And
you were actually... We have had a conversation about this week where Martin was genuinely massively excited about those footballs in the shops. Cheese footballs are back.
Or soccer au fromage, as I call them. Anyway, could I get back to the Sensoria Film Festival?
Like, if you like.
Cheese footballs. So, the film, next Friday, 7:15 this starts at the... the Sheffield University Drama Studio.
Yeah, love it there.
Yep. It is a special screening of a Taiwanese martial arts movie called The Shaolin Invincibles. And it is going to be introduced by... I've got me wrong glasses here, so this is all very difficult for me today. Dr. Wayne Wong, an expert in East Asian studies at the University of Sheffield. He'll be doing an introduction to this film, which is quite a notorious martial arts film from Taiwan. And it has two major martial arts stars, Judy Lee and Carter Wong. And it is bonkers. If I was to say to you, Kung Fu Gorillas... What would you picture in your mind?
Gorillas at Kung Fu.
You'd be exactly right.
Oh, that's good, because I hate it. I'd hate to be sold Gorillas Kung Fu and not have any gorillas doing Kung Fu.
Well, I can tell you, this film delivers on that in spades. But that's not all. There is also going to be a live score being performed, and this is when my glasses have gone, and I can't see who's...
Point at it.
I don't know. It's on that one there.
Oh, good Lord.
I'm really sorry about this, but I broke my glasses.
Oh, no. Award-winning composer, producer and sound designer Chipsil will premiere her newly commissioned live score.
They will be performing a live score, which they've composed specifically for this film. So it won't be the score that the film was originally released with, and that's going to be performed alongside the screening of the film.
I do enjoy a live performance screening.
Yeah.
I do love this description as well. Two sword-wielding sisters seek revenge against the villains who murdered their family. Sounds normal so far. But to do this, they must battle kung fu guerrillas, guardians of the underworld, and a host of outlandish assassins.
And you thought I was joking about kung fu guerrillas,
no,
weren't you?
No, I did not.
And there you are. You have it in black and white.
Very glad that you were not
kung
joking.
Kung fu guerrillas. So, I mean, normally you always imagine sort of live scores being performed with silent movies, don't you? So obviously this is, I think, in Cantonese. So it's going to be a it's subtitled, so you'll be able to hear the dialogue over the musical performance. And I think Sensoria did one similar to this about 10 years ago where they had Asian Dub Foundation
La
Haine, and that was good. And a few years back we did something with Celluloid Screams where we got the Italian prog rock group Goblin to come in and perform their score for Dario Argento's Deep Red. That was a wild night. That was really, really amazing. But this sounds absolutely fascinating. Should you wish to test the waters of Shaolin Invincibles, the people at Sensoria have kindly given us two tickets for us to put out to you to win in a competition. So thanks to Joe and Nigel at Sensoria. And you need to send your entry to this competition to, let me just call up, info@sensoria.org.uk. That's info@sensoria.org.uk. And
the question is...
Can you tell us the year in which Shaolin Invincibles was made?
Did you mention it already?
I didn't, no. Oh, I was very careful. It wasn't like I let some swear words slip out or anything. I was thinking about what I was saying all the time.
Yeah.
So that's it.
What a professional.
And as they've told us here, first response, we'll get a pair of tickets. So I think that's my mum and your mum will probably be going, wouldn't they?
My mum can't make it.
Not that I told them, well, mine can't either. So there, if you fancy having a wild night with loud electronic music and kung fu gorillas, you can do that next Friday at 7:15 in the evening by sending your answer to that question. What year was Shaolin Invincibles released? Again, to info@sensoria.org.uk.
Great.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's
I don't
wonderful.
Think I've got anything else to say about that.
Well, you were going to mention a little bit for your trailer trash about Anora. I know we briefly mentioned
Sean Baker's Anora, which won the Palme d'Or at Cannes. And that's going to be out, I think, towards the end of October.
The UK release date is 1st of November. But you can catch it earlier.
Is he going to be as part of this touring thing?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I really do like Sean Baker's work. I think he's a... all of his films have been so interesting. And he quite often deals with the peripheries of society. But this is about a young girl who falls in with the son of a Russian oligarch and... on a whim, he marries her. Now, when I say he's the son of an oligarch, you soon find out he's the son of a Russian mafia boss who is none too pleased at his new daughter-in-law. It looks like mayhem ensues after that. But it was more gyrating young bottoms, disco music, and all that. Give me a break.
What are you going to do? Well, if you want to catch that before its UK release, you can see it on Saturday the 12th of October.
I won't be here.
You won't be here?
I won't be here.
Oh, no. You'll have to wait till the 1st of November like everybody else.
I can do that. Because sometimes, right. Sometimes going to see these films early just means you get disappointed for longer.
Oh my goodness, that is bleak. Talking of bleak, right, my music choice for this week. So we went to see Bill Callahan, who American solo artist who sometimes also known as his sort of band name Smog.
Yep.
This, I'm going to play the first track. It's a song called Jim Kane. It includes a line, "I used to be darker," which was itself an inspiration for a film which uses his song in the soundtrack. Here is Jim Kane by Bill Callahan.
Search of ordinary things. How much of a tree bends in the wind? I started telling the story without knowing the end. Darker, then I got lighter, then I got dark again. And something too big to be seen was passing over and over me. Well, it seemed like a routine. Shadow came a lightness of verse, but the darkest of nights in truth still dazzle, and I work myself until I'm frazzled. Turned to sand. I started running when things didn't pan out as planned. In case things go poorly, then I'm not returned. Thank you.
beautiful voice. That was Bill Callahan.
That was lovely.
Jim Kane.
I love that song.
Features in an indie film, I Used to Be Darker, from 2013. Can't see it. It's nowhere to see. But what a beautiful song. You're listening to The Film Show on Chef and Live with me, Denise.
And me, Martin.
And we have sad news to bring you.
The plaintiff bell, that was.
Yeah. The legendary Dame Maggie Smith, who died yesterday.
At 89, passed 89, away yesterday.
Just 3 months short of her 90th birthday, and a career spanning, so considering she's 89, her career spans 8 decades worth, starting in the 50s with stage career, an incredible film career.
Yes, well. Yeah. And like, she got more famous the older she got.
Yeah.
I mean, she should be someone I don't like.
Yeah, Dame.
Dame, you know, she's in all these heritage movies and that. But I don't know, there's something about Maggie Smith, because she could do something. I mean, I'll say my bit in a bit.
I think she added real class to whatever she was in. And that look. She found something. So, like, say The Secret Garden, where she plays the horribly bullying maiden figure. But, you know, she gives it some kind of weight and a grief and a sadness to it. It's just, she was wonderful.
She could do spinsters very well.
Mm.
And certainly in the past 20 years, she's done, like, dowagers, let's say.
She joked as well. I think she was on a BBC interview where she said, I just get to be a mean old cow in loads of things. That's the way it is.
And worked extensively with Alan Bennett, Lady in the Van, probably being one of her most famous collaborations with him.
The Talking Heads season, she was one of those Talking Heads, wasn't she? Well.
But you look, as I was saying, early in the 60s, she was in a number of, like, real sort of run-of-the-mill British film comedies, where she's like the charming young girl in it, you know, the object, whoever that particular film's hero is enamoured with. And she looks absolutely sensational. There's a couple of, I think the great thing about the 60s, there were loads of great photographers around as well, you know, and there was so much happening in London and England and that.
She had a very angular look, didn't she?
Yeah, so very, quite sharp features. But, she just looks amazing in some of these early films. Then by the time she gets to Miss Jean Brodie, that sort of sets a bit of almost a bit of typecasting
isn't it? Playing older ladies and maiden aunt type things quite early on, relatively.
And I think she's, you know, she was an incredibly beautiful woman, and you know, she could have done for more of the romantic lead roles, but she didn't have a bad career on that.
She never stopped working, did she?
No. And so what she's done, Downton Abbey. Harry Potter.
I think with the longevity of her career, there is always a different entry point for whatever age you are.
Yeah.
And you will identify. So lots of people will love her as the Harry Potter professor that she played. I don't watch never watched any Harry Potter.
So I'm for a Potter-free zone.
Well, for me, it was those 80s films with Michael Palin when I was first watching those, so like The Missionary. Which I think you've got a you've got a certain angle.
I have a
on.
Thing about The Missionary, yeah.
But that was with Michael Palin, and another one with Michael Palin with the pig.
Private Function. And I think both of those films, I don't think they get enough attention, because she in both of those films, she plays two incredibly strong and sexual women. And The Missionary, I watched a month or two ago, and I'd just forgotten for one thing, how amazing she looks and how sexy she is in The Missionary. And she's dressed exactly, she's dressed almost exactly as she is, as the spinsterish chaperone in A Room with a View. Which,
and I love her in that as well.
Yeah, but she just, there's something about, right from the word go, this is a woman who's man-hungry, isn't she, in The Missionary, and makes no bones about it, and pretty much as Palin for breakfast.
Makes no bones about wanting the bones of Monty Palin. Who wouldn't?
And then, but there is just something so, you can tell she's really in command of this character and she's in command of the story. And that goes the same with A Private Function, where she's the one wanting that pig dead. And she, if it weren't for her, there'd be, you know, it might be bread and dripping. Now you're going to have pork chops tonight. And she's, and I think she's marvellous in both of those. And both of them, both of those films are just not quite what you expect from Maggie Smith.
Are they both handmade, or is one of them a handmade?
I think both of them are handmade.
Peculiarly British, though, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
English, yeah. Even.
I mean, The Missionary is just like riven with, oh, a critique of the class system, isn't it? As Palin setting up a mission for you know, street walking, fallen women. And it's only at the end of the film there where Maggie Smith's character,
spoilers coming.
I was one of them once. She gives away posh accent, goes, she drops down into a cockney argot. but no, I thought she was marvellous.
I do wish I'd been able to, you know, whenever you want a time machine to go back, I wish I could have seen her on stage in like the 60s, 70s. She had a career at the National Theatre. She appeared with Olivier. She went, she had I was reading a Michael Billington piece, of one of many in The Guardian today.
It was wall to wall today, wasn't it?
Yeah. But he was talking specifically about a theatre career, specifically when she went over to Canada in the 70s and had like a few years out there doing some key roles. But I'd love to have seen her Hedda Gabler. I mean, when she was doing that, I was either not born yet or I was in nappies and not really interested in Ibsen. But, you know, by the time she had a like later career, when I was going to the theatre, definitely it was like West End only, Broadway. Because she was that good. But yeah, someone I wish I could have seen on stage for sure.
I would say one of the greats of British stage, screen, and of course television. You know,
and all the awards. You know, Oscar for she's got them all. Prime of Miss Jean Brodie.
Yeah,
and then I really like that film, The California Suite. Where she
best
plays
supporting actress.
Oscar
she got
winner,
yeah.
And the weirdness of that whole thing, and then they gave her a supporting.
Art imitating
well.
Life. Yeah. There you are. All things come full circle, there, don't they?
So a fond farewell to a Dame Maggie.
Yes.
Lovely.
We will never see her like again.
No, well, that whole.
So don't try and tell me that Olivia Colman's. You can't compare Olivia Colman to her.
And, no. Yeah, that varied career. Wonderful, wonderful. Shall we have another song?
Oh, shall we?
Yeah. This is one you might recognise. It is under the pseudonym Smog. This was featured in the film High Fidelity. It is Cold Blooded Old Times.
Cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times. The type of memories that turn your bones to glass, turn your bones to glass. Mother came rushing in. She said we didn't see a thing. We said we didn't see a thing. And father left at 8, nearly splintering the gate. Cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times,
cold blooded old times, cold blooded old times, the type of memories that turn your bones to glass, turn your bones to glass. And though you were just a little squirrel, you understood every word. And in this way, they gave you clarity, a cold-blooded clarity, cold-blooded old time. Cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times. Now how can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? How can I stand and laugh with the man who redefined your body? In those cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times, cold-blooded old times.
Are listening to The Film Show on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM and on digital. I'm Martin.
I'm Denise.
And he didn't like playing that one, did he, on Thursday night?
No, it was
a bit vexed, wasn't he? Yeah,
rather begrudging. But it is, I mean, it is the one that I first heard of his, because it was featured in High Fidelity. And
he just tossed it off, didn't he?
Yeah. I know you want this one. Yeah, but that film came out in 2000, and I think the song was 1999.
Yeah.
And it just exploded. When I say exploded, I mean in the indie world, which was
man. Okay, so it's review time, and
we've had a busy week, haven't we?
Amazingly, we have had quite a few things to tell you about, both good and bad.
We're going to save the bad, aren't we?
Save the bad till last. Because, I'm building up quite a cult following for my 10-minute hate sessions. So I'm going to start off with a documentary, which has just started on Netflix, Will and Harper, where Will Ferrell and his longtime friend, when she was a man, was Andrew Steele, but he's now Hunter Steele. And Hunter was a writer on SNL who used to write a lot of material for Ferrell.
Right.
And they ended up being a sort of team. Hunter Steele then went on to write a number of scripts for Will Ferrell movies. And then during the lockdown, like a lot of people, Ferrell hadn't heard from Steele for some time until he received an email saying that she was transitioning and Andrew became Hunter. And this film is about the two of them getting together and going on this road trip across America. And them just stopping off at the sort of places they used to do, where they used to do this sort of thing when both were male.
Back in the day.
And it's quite, well, it's interesting. It's quite moving at times. I think there are some of the, maybe some of the more problematic things it probably doesn't try to turf up too much. Maybe because he doesn't want to cause a controversy and just obscure, just trying to tell someone's own personal story within it. And of course, if you've got Will Ferrell going around, there's a certain cushioning to it there as well. But in the film, Steele does things like she goes into bars on her own, and Ferrell will say, "Well, do you want me to come in with you?" She says, "No, this is what I used to do, and I want to see that I can still do it again and still interact with people." And that sort of thing is quite moving. It's quite brave as well, some of the situations she puts herself in. So it's well worth a watch. You know, sometimes there is a great bit in a dive bar where she's met up with this group of women and they're all having a great chat. And she rings Will Ferrell up, who's waiting in the car outside. "So you can come in there, everything's all right." And he comes in, and none of them believe that he's actually Will Ferrell. Right. You know, but it could have turned into something quite cosy, and it doesn't. And I enjoyed it. It's you know, I wouldn't say it's, you know, earth shattering or groundbreaking, but I think it's that personal level thing, and you get to know Will Ferrell as well as Hunter Steele in it as well. And she seems to be reaching an accommodation with herself about her happiness in being her. Even though there's still all sorts of issues around that for her. So, yeah, it's an intelligent little film.
And what's that? Is it on Netflix?
Netflix, yeah. That's on.
Okay. I went to the cinema and I went to see The Outrun. So that's the new Saoirse Ronan film. It's directed by a German director, Nora Finkscheid, and it is a screenplay that she has come up with Amy Liptrot. Now, Amy Liptrot is the writer of the memoir that the film is based on. So it's based in a fact. She describes her alcohol addiction, recovery from the alcohol addiction, and the sort of solace that she takes from going back to her childhood home. So when we join her, she's 29. She's having a series of... she's reached the rock bottom, let's say. And it quite cleverly jumps between different times. And you can tell what times these are because of Saoirse Ronan's various hair dye.
I just like Léa Seydoux in the Beast, wasn't it? When's this? Oh, she's got the long hair.
Yeah. it's really, really... it's gorgeously filmed. The soundscape in it is wonderful. And it's like this energy that she gets from the island and the space of it. So it's shot on an Acadian island. And then at one point she goes off to an island that's even out of the way of that. And it's just got this lovely energy about it. A beautiful soundtrack as well that I've been listening to since watching it. I really thoroughly recommend it. It's got great supporting performances as well, especially from Saskia Reeves as her mother. So her mother and father, played by Saskia Reeves and Stephen Delane, they are like incomers, good lifers, who have been recruited, if you like, to come and live on the island as people moved away. And so the Saoirse Ronan character has been born and brought up there, but she's a little bit of an outsider.
Yeah.
There's a lovely scene where she's sort of trying to connect with someone that lives there, and he's like, oh, are you from here? Like, because obviously everyone knows everybody, but they don't know her.
Mm.
And her mother has taken solace in, like, a Bible group. Her father has bipolar. So it's like a series of highs and lows that are almost presented as like a natural beat, like the waves hitting the shore. And it's just beautifully filmed. And I'm not going to, nothing much happens, if you know what I mean, narratively, but it's very lyrical. There is a little bit of the slight clunkiness in that, because it's based on a memoir, there is a bit of a voiceover explanation. And if you're not a fan of that, it does go, but I think it is worth it because the lyricism of her, her prose is so.
It's a funny thing, voiceover, isn't it? Because, you know, some people see it as, oh no, you can't have voiceover. Yeah. And
it's not constant. It sort of comes back a bit. But yeah, I really thoroughly recommend it.
You know, because some voiceover is. I like the voiceover in the original Blade Runner, and, you know.
Yeah, it's a bone of contention.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's sort of my point exactly, isn't it? You know, so you're going to rate?
I rate for the Outrun, yeah.
Okay, so I'll do Wolves now. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
The big thing about Wolves, the new film with Brad Pitt and George Clooney, was the rumours at Venice that each of them had been paid $35 million to appear in this film.
Trying to get that Ocean's magic, aren't
they? I know. They were very, very emphatic in denying that they'd got paid anything like that for this film. So this is a New York set thriller, all takes place over one night in New York. Both of them are fixers. You ring them if you're in a situation that you need sorting out, if you're in like the criminal fraternity or on the periphery of that. And they get involved in like this odyssey through the night involving a bag of drugs and a young man who they thought had died but hadn't and is now alive, and Albanian gangsters and Croatian gangsters, and with it there's a lot of what is they think is constantly witty repartee. I mean, they do have a certain chemistry between them, let's say, that works, but it wasn't enough to keep me interested for 2 hours, you know. I mean, they have spent a lot of money on it. It looks, my catchphrase for this year, $1 million.
Oh.
It looks great, but I mean, it must have cost a fortune to make, because most of it is shot at night and there's loads of like location work in New York. So that sort of stuff just costs millions and millions these days. And there's some nice chase sequences and that. But at the end, I know this time next week, I don't think I'll remember much about it.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's on Apple TV,
right,
if you've got it. If there really is nothing else that you want to watch.
What a glowing... That's one for the posters.
Yeah, so I'm going to give this a...
Well, I know you've got a lot to say about your next review, so I'm going to keep this one very brief. But nobody wants this. Ah, I see what I did there.
Yeah, I did.
Nobody wants this.
You're a natural.
Is a new Netflix rom-com come sitcom. It features Adam Brody as Noah, who's a rabbi, and Kristen Bell as Joanne, who is, let's say, a podcaster talking about her sex life on a podcast. You wouldn't think they'd be together. She is not Jewish. His family is obviously very California Jewish, and there is an attraction. And the sitcom is just about their attraction and them deciding to make a go of that. There's some great support from Justin Loop as Joanne's sister Morgan, and Timothy Simons as Sasha, who plays Noah's brother, Adam Brody, as Noah. Adam Brody, you'll recognise him from The O.C., not something I'm familiar with, but I know him as one of the nice guys in Promising Young Women, who's not a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. That's where I'd seen him before,
It's just thoroughly enjoyable. I went to sit down with a glass of wine to watch one episode to mention on this show. Suddenly, I was six episodes deep and three quarters of the bottle of wine had gone. It's very gentle comedy, but very quite witty. But a little bit low key as well, as is the.
So have you got the rest of wine and just four episodes to do once you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By 11 o'clock tonight, I'll be.
There'll be a fresh bottle. You'll be opening there when you
get. But yeah, I'm going to rate it because I found it very watchable and enjoyable.
Right. Okay. Okay, so
let's lead on to. I feel like I should ring a bell for this.
You might have to. I think my major thing is I am so disappointed. Give me a shout. I am so disappointed in Francis Ford Coppola's Megalopolis. Mm.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm seeing it on Monday.
Yeah, I found it portentous, pompous. Adam Driver. I never want to see Adam Driver in a film ever again.
Gosh.
It's something that maybe is this like project he's had for 20, 30 years, and maybe if he'd made it 30 years ago, it might have worked. But Adam Driver plays this genius inventor, architect, who's going to transform everybody's lives by building these buildings from this compound called Megalon that he's invented. And he's just a genius because he's a genius.
He just is a genius.
The plot was just almost like non-existent. Things would come up. At one point, they're talking about a Russian satellite that's in a decaying orbit. And it might fall on New York. Well, it does, and all right, okay, and then you're going to say like nothing's happened.
Wait, but what?
Natalie Emmanuel is his love interest.
I've heard the not very encouraging things about the sort of female representation in the film.
Most women are
love interests
or.
Naked.
Gyrating disco sequences. But they've got no chemistry at all. Mm. And in fact, I was 30 minutes in and I thought, I don't care about anybody in this film. And an hour in, I was thinking, am I going to leave as two people already had?
Yeah. You went to an IMAX.
I went to an IMAX screening and I say, don't bother. Because all the IMAX does is show up the shortcomings of how cheap this film looks. Mm. If they've spent $120 million on this, they must have had very good catering. That's all I can say.
Oh, dear.
It looks terrible. There are crowd scenes where they might... You can see they haven't got a crowd. It doesn't feel big. It feels small and... And some of the special effects are on the level of Doctor Who. They really, you know, I'm talking about 1970s Doctor Who. And I'm almost too tired to say anything else about it. All I want to say is I pray to God that there is not a Megalopolis Redux or a Megalopolis Final Cut. Because you know what? The world does not need them.
It sounds like if you want to see it for completest reasons, you better hurry up because it doesn't sound
I think it's going to be on long. I wish I wasn't saying this. I've loved most of
because you were
Coppola's
one of
work.
You were very excited about it coming.
Yeah,
as
I was really thought, oh, this is going to be the one he'll go out on. Well, it is, and it's not very good.
Well, it's a damn
shame. And I'm sure lots of people will go along and love it, but
You're not one of them.
I can only say how I find.
Okay. Shall we have another?
I'm slating it as well.
Yeah, you are. Well, we haven't guessed. Let's have a bit of music.
Let's have, yes.
This is Vessel in Vain, which features in the Shane Meadows film Dead Man's Shoes.
Thank you.
can't be held responsible for the things I say. For I am just a vessel in vain. Can't be held responsible for the things I see. For I am just a vessel in vain. No boat out. Not a strain at all to remember those that I left behind. They're all standing right here beside me now. Most of them with a smile. My ideals have got me on the run towards my connection.
To fade that out, but we're running out of time. That's yes. Special in Vain. Smog song that features in Dead Man's Shoes, the opening title, opening credits for that film.
Yes, I was, I'm sorry this is going to be a bit rushed, but we're not going to say too much about next week's releases, as the big one is going to be Joker Folly a Deux.
Yeah.
With Joaquin Phoenix
and
Lady Gaga. So we'll have loads more to say about that next week. And
another couple of new films to check out. The Teacher is a Palestinian-British activist drama filmed in 2022. That looks interesting. And A Different Man, which features, as well as Sebastian Stan, the actor Adam Pearson, who you may remember from Under the Skin. That looks interesting too. And if you're anywhere near Bradford tomorrow and you want to check out the Widescreen Film Festival, you could see Dr. Zhivago, To Catch a Thief, or Cleopatra. Wonderful.
And they'll have intermissions.
Wow. They do? Do they?
Well, they did back then. Mm. Right, are we going then?
Well, in a minute. We are going to leave you with one more track from Bill Callahan. This doesn't feature in a film, but it is inspired by a famous television series, and it's called The Ballad of the Hulk. We will see you back next week.
Enjoy your films,
guys.
Apart from Megalopolis.
Yeah, don't bother. I mean, do.
I've been looking back. At the old ways. Over my shoulders. Like salt. Oh, sugar. I'm just talking about the old days. Groundwork. Forefoot work.
after this next song, we'll be moving along. Out of this vein.